The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for marital or familial matters, call the Evan Ezer Division at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
In one of the most enigmatic and hard to understand episodes in all of we have this week's Pasha, Pashas Vayesev, the episode of Bechiras Yosef, the repercussions of which are still chasing us today, that division in the brotherhood, in the Achdus, in the unity of Klal Yisrael, is still the cause, the Svarim tell us, of all sinas chinam and all pirud and all division and strife that exists between Klal Yisrael. There was brought into the DNA of the creation of Klal Yisrael a possibility of sinas achim by that ma'asim b'chiras Yosef. But we know, of course, that the brothers were considered perfect tzaddikim. In fact, later on in the Pasha, when Yosef is faced with a nisoyin of Eshes Potiphar, so Yosef is told, the Gemara tells us, Rashi quotes part of it, that Yosef is told that he'll only be zoichet to have his name on the Choshen, his name will be on the source of Ruach HaKodesh of the Kohen Gadol, with the other brothers who were perfect tzaddikim, only if he's in temptation. If the earlier part of the Pasha renders the brothers, the Shiftei Kah, murderers, then why are they perfect tzaddikim that deserve to be on the heaven, on the Avnei Choshen, only Yosef, because of immorality, wouldn't be? It seems clear, and this is the reality of the Dibre Chazal that come down to us in various Mamori Chazal, that the brothers were perfect tzaddikim. What went on over here by Mechiras Yosef was a result of a halachic process of defining Yosef as in violation of the Svarim tell us that he was considered to be a Merid B'Malchus. They understood that since they knew that Yehuda had to be the Melech, so Yosef, who was challenging that leadership role and thrusting himself into the leadership role, he had convinced Yaakov, at least in their opinion, to go along with it, to crown him Yaakov's successor, gave him the Ksonis Pasim and so on, the Pasuk tells us. And because of that, their Psak was as legitimate Dayanim and Shoiftim to render Yosef Mechuyv Misa, to the point where Mamori Chazal tell us that the Asara Haruge Malchus, the great tzaddikim that were killed Al Kiddush Hashem, and we mention their memory as our kapora in the Yom Kippur davening, they are the kapora for that slight, again, like we said, chisorin in Klal Yisrael was created, but they're considered perfect tzaddikim. The kapora for them is the Asar Haruge Malchus. What's most shocking is, Chazal tells really there were only 9 brothers that signed, so to speak, on the death warrant. There are 12 brothers. Binyamin wasn't there. Yosef certainly wasn't responsible for the psak. That's 10. And if we leave out Reuven, who wasn't there, that's only 9. So the Mechiras Yosef was considered the responsibility of 9. The 10th for the minyan and the who completed the Asar Haruge Malchus was none other than Medrash tells us, but the Rabban Shlom B'chvoide Ba'asmoy, Hiskim Imoyim B'psak Dinam, and the same Yitzchok Avinu. So we're talking here about tzaddikim that paskin something which was pure Torah itself. And in that context, we have to learn up what went on over here. To understand the halachic, some of the halachic details that went into the psak, let's focus on something which has implications in very real halachic lemaisa. The pasuk tells us, right before Shlishi, Vayoyma aleim Reuven al tishpuchu dam. Reuven tells the brothers, don't be guilty of spilled blood. Hashlichu oiseh la bor hazeh, don't kill him. He's chai visa. Don't kill him. Throw him into the bor. V'yod al tishluchu voy, leman hitzel oiseh miyodom, lashiv el oviv. Reuven tried to save, but Reuven said, throw him into the bor, where you'll only be, at least the version that he told them, was that you should only be a goyrim lemisa. The Ramban focuses on this, and the Ramban says, the Ramban explains exactly what his cheshbon was, what he was trying to do, but the Ramban says that what he told the brothers was, the Ramban in Pasuk Chav Beis, limed oisim shein oinish ha-goyrim ko-inish ha-shoifich dom biyodov. The oinish of somebody who is goyrim misa, a goyrim, something, somebody who causes somebody else, Rachman son, to be killed, is not the same ownership as somebody who kills him biyadayim, who doesn't outright maisu itzicha biyadayim. So he told them to water down the severity of the avera by throwing him into the bar, not by killing him biyadayim. So they threw him into the bar, and later on comes along a pasuk chavav, ayem Yehuda elachov, ma betza kinaro gesachinu v'chisinu esdame, what do we gain by killing our brother, by causing his death? And being responsible, ultimately they sold him. And the Ramban points out over there on Pasuk Chavav as well that Yehuda disputed Reuven. Yehuda said to Reuven that by putting him in the bar, they're also going to be roitzchim. Reuven told the brothers not to be hoirig bi yodayin, yashlichu b'bar v'yomashom, shein oynish agorim koynish ha-shefich dom. Now Yehuda comes back to them after he's in the bar and says, "Gamzei yichosh v'lonu ritzicha." It's also going to be considered ritzicha. Kilu anachnu haragnuhu v'chena dover emes kinyishol ha'kosuv oisei rakta b'chev ne'amoin. That would also be considered ritzicha. So the Rabban says, "Dina rabba v'dina zuto ike benayu." They were arguing whether they'd be responsible dina rabba on a stronger Avero or Dinazuto Ushneim Amru Emes. Seems to be that there was a dispute over here between Yehuda and Reuven, so to speak. What would be considered the severity of putting Yosef into the bar? Now, before we discuss halachically the implications of the difference between doing something biadayim, it's not the only Avero where we find an out, we find a tour where somebody is only a groma. Groma dinizok in the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama daf nun vav, when somebody only causes somebody else monetary damage, poter b'dinei odem, bezin does not charge him, bezin is not mechayiv, v'chayiv b'dinei shemayim, but he's responsible for the damage, he has to make good on the damage that he caused. Before we understand, so what's the difference if they did it? We're talking here about perfect tzaddikim. Nobody is coming after them. No Bezdin is going to pass on the Misa. So the only responsibility that they could have, the only conscience, and the only repercussions that could be over here is Klapi the Rebbein Shalom. They don't believe in Dinei Shemayim. And again, if they paskin, they paskin. If it was right, it was right. And if it was wrong and he wasn't Chai Misa, they should have saved him. What's the difference if it's an Oynish, be a Daim and a Yodi Begoy? But before we get back to tackling the thorny issue of what exactly was going on, or trying to understand at least on our limited level, what exactly is going on, let's define if there's a Machloksi, if that's what the Ramban is telling us, as to whether putting somebody in a Bor would be considered a ma'isa biyadayim or not. Let's discuss that on a purely halachic level for a minute. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Zayin, in the sugyas of what is considered a ma'isa ritzicha biyadayim, and what's considered not a ritzicha biyadayim, what's considered only a gram ritzicha. Again, the din of a goyrim is chai v'din ishamayim. He's guilty as anything, but he does not nidoin in Bez Nazaretzech. So the Gemara discusses different variables that define something as a Maisa B'Yodayim and something that's not a Maisa B'Yodayim. For instance, if somebody is tied down, Retzech, an assassin, a hired assassin, ties somebody down where he's directly in the, under the sun. But if it were, the being tied down over there puts him at the mercy of killer rays of the sun. An hour later, the person dies of sunstroke. That's considered a ma'aseh ritzicha biyadayim. Tying a person down in the same situation, where the sun is not yet shining, where the sun is only going to move over, the angle of the sun will only catch him in 2 hours, and then he'll die, is not considered a ma'aseh biyadayim. Another variable. If somebody puts somebody in front of, ties somebody down. They used to call Chinese water torture when there's a slow drip, drip, drip. He ties a retzach, an assassin, ties somebody, a victim down. He doesn't put him on cement shoes and throw him in the East River. What he does is he puts him, ties him down in front of a gush of water that's coming out of a canal or a dam or something where the water is considered what the Gemara calls with Hasar's Bitkanamai, by pulling away the dam, the direct rush of the water will rush at him and kill him. The halacha is, that's considered a ma'aseh biyadayim. Masha'enkein, if the water will only get to that spot, and eventually, not the first rush of water, eventually the water will be mizgaber, haylechu mizgaber, and the water will overcome the person who is there, that would not be considered a ma'isu etzicha. Point being, the certainty of these two cases, or the four cases that we just mentioned, there's no difference in the percentage of possibility that the person is going to survive the ordeal. If he's tied down, the same sun that will kill him if he's directly now, or if the sun only comes later on, it really doesn't make a difference. The sun certainly is going to stand. There's no Yeshua ben Nun to make the sun stand. He's certainly going to be in a place where the sunstroke will get him. The shaila is only if it's now or later, but there's no difference in the certainty. Goyrim and Ma'isi V'Yadayim have nothing to do with the certainty of the situation, have to do with the directness that defines that as the Ma'isa of the one who set the situation up. Meaning, say, a Goyrim is somebody who does something where for certain that result will happen, but the activity that caused it can't be considered directly a Ma'isi V'Yadayim. Now this is Lagabi Ritzicha, assassins. Assassins don't usually come to Rabbonim and to Dayonim to ask Shilas. Where this is Nege is the Gemara and the Poiskim make extensive use of these ideas, Lagabi Hilcha Shabbos. Is somebody who sets up a situation where something will certainly happen. Person sets a fire. And 4 inches away from a fire that will certainly spread, there's a raw piece of meat, but oifen where the meat will be cooked. Is that considered a ma'isa bishul on Shabbos? Well, no. He just lit the fire. The fire is just going to travel 4 inches. That's a ma'isa b'yadayim. Why? Because the fire certainly will get there. Is that considered a ma'isa b'yadayim or not? That's one subject. What about if somebody in Lamoshal uses hot water from a sink? But even with the force of the water will force more water into the boiler, and that water will automatically be heated up. Is that considered that by opening up the faucet, there's a ma'isa b'yadayim of forcing water into the boiler? Is that considered a ma'isa mevashel? Another shaila is that koyach rishon, koyach sheni. If a person, for instance, sets up a clock, pulls out pins of a clock on Shabbos, and because of that, the light goes on earlier. Is that considered that he turned on the light on Shabbos earlier? All these variations are nafkiminus, Rabbi, whether that's considered a ma'isa b'yadayim, and a groma b'shabbos is certainly not deraisa. Some instances Chazal permitted, some instances Chazal b'mochem, hefsid b'mochem, choyli, so on and so forth. Chazal were matir, but there's certainly no issa deraisa. If any of these variations would be considered a ma'isa b'yadayim, that would render that activity chil shabbos deraisa. Shlomo Zalman and Eliyoshev both felt that the boiler effect would be considered koyach rishon, not koyach sheni. A different variation would be if somebody has a basement level where what's used is, when the water is let down in the plumbing system, the water goes down, it's called a sump pump where it's drawn down, and then there's an electric current that's generated that pushes the water out to a pump above ground, pumps the water out. Would that be considered that flushing would be considered a koyach rishon? The water goes down. Thereafter, when the tank is full, the electric current is triggered. That's a koyach sheni. Masha'enkin, flushing the toilet, let's say, where there's a little, for fragrance or for cleanliness purposes, there's something that dispenses color, and the water is colored by the water that rushes from pushing the handle of the flusher. That would be considered koyach rishon, because the water directly rushes down and causes that effect. Coloring water on Shabbos is a malacha deraisa of tzeveah. So these are some of the nafkaminas that result from this type of discussion. Again, going back to Yehuda and Reuven, whether putting Yosef in the bor, where there's certainly he's going, let's say if we assume for a certainty that he's going to die of hunger in the bar, in the choshma krov in the yeshboy. The Gemara says clearly, the same Gemara in Sanhedrin of Ayin Zayin, if a person puts a snake by somebody and the snake obviously bites the person, the chances of him not biting him are almost nil. The halacha is that's a groma, not a ma'isa b'yadayim. If he puts the hand of the person in the mouth of the nochosh, that might be worse. Why? Because over there, the ma'isa is considered to be to literally putting it in the path. whether the activity of putting somebody in a bar is considered sufficient, that that is a situation of ritzicha, where it's direct, or he's just setting up the effect of ritzicha, again, is that same type of shayla. The definition that we're using of groma, being that it's certainly, the certainty of the effect is the same, it's just not a maisi b'yadayim, leads us to another conclusion. If the Gemara tells us that a person who is a goyrim nizokin is not chayv b'dini adam, bezn only passing on activities that are done maisa b'yadayim, but a maisa which is only goyrim, which only causes, which only creates an effect, but it does not actually to be considered a maisa b'yadayim, that he's chayv b'dini shemayim. That chayv b'dini shemayim is not just a spiritual reckoning. It means that he caused damage. It just means that bezn can't do anything about it. That has an interesting toitzo, an interesting byproduct. Very often people ask, Reuven comes to Bezin, comes to Rov and asks, Shimon damaged him in a way, let's say, damaged him in a car, in a collision, in a car accident, and he wants to recoup his loss from insurance. On the other hand, the question is, what happens if certainly if Reuven's a mazik, if Shimon was mazik Reuven, Reuven is allowed to recoup his loss. What happens if the hefsid moment was only, let's say, Shimon was driving aggressively, and because he drove in a way that was not safe, Reuven had to jerk away and he crashed into the side of the road, he crashed into a sign, or he went into a ditch and killed the bottom of the car, and so on. It's Reuven's fault. Did Reuven hit Shimon? Reuven was driving aggressively, and because of that, Shimon swerved and crashed his car. We would call that, the Gemara looks at it that way in Bava Kama Daf Nunvav, that that's called a goyrim. So Reuven comes to Bez, and he wants to know, I don't remember if I said Reuven or Shimon, Shimon, the victim, comes to Bez, and he wants to know, could he report it to insurance? Insurance would cover, but it would also mean that since Reuven's the responsible party, Reuven's premiums would go up. Is he allowed to, since he doesn't have a din, b'dinei adam and bezn against Reuven, is he allowed to report Shimon? Is he allowed to report to the insurance? But I think that Reuven's insurance would go up. And the answer is yes. He's being goyim by reporting. He's being goyim that Reuven's premium goes up. Yeah, but what's the problem of reporting? Reporting to insurance, you're not actually damaging somebody. You're causing that then they're not willing to give them insurance except for a higher premium. You're being goyrim, a loss, to the one whose premium is going to go up. That goyrim means you're responsible for causing him a loss, but he's also responsible. It's his responsibility. He did it. It's just not considered a maisa b'yadayim that's nitnali tova and bezdin. But it's his fault. It's not just that it's his fault. It's that he caused it. If he caused it, then the ultimate cause of the loss of Reuven, which means because his insurance went up, he's going to have to pay higher premiums, that loss, he's the one who caused it. So Shimon would be allowed in that case to prove to Reuven. That's, as an aside, an interesting byproduct of this idea that goyrim means that a result was certainly there, but it's not considered a maisa b'yadayim. Okay, that's all as a halachic discussion. How direct the result has to be from the maisa b'yadayim, like we say, put Yosef in the bar, is that considered directly killing him, or is that considered only a goyrim? Getting back to the underlying issue of what did it help? You're talking about tzaddikim gemurim, of course, if they paskin, he was chayv misa, so kill him b'yadayim. And if not, they're not. What's this business of trying to downgrade an averi? Either it's an averu, or they were doing a mitzvah. There's no in-between by the shiftei ko. If we might be able to postulate, maybe what we would say is that the psak of the brothers wasn't a psak based on regular din. In regular din, what did Yosef do? Yosef acted in a way where he put his spiritual ascent higher than the brothers. He felt that his aliyah ruchnis went ahead of the brothers, and he positioned himself in a leadership role as mashpia. Yosef, tzadik yisrael olam, he's the mashpia. they have to be the Mekablim and so on and so forth, and that's the way it is. Yosef is Mashiach ben Yosef, David is Mashiach ben David, Yehuda, less Migar Meklum, he has to be a Mekabel, not the Mashpia, the Sifri Machshov and Sifri Kabbalah are full of. But what that means is that Bedine Odom, again, this is all maybe our theory, Bedine Odom, there would not have been a Siba L'chayv, they understood that. Their Psak was a psak in the realm of Dinei Shamayim. They got involved, kilu, in the right and wrong of Dinei Shamayim. They felt that in Dinei Shamayim, it's against Rotzna Boire for Yosef to position himself, not to be in his battle to the leadership of Yehuda, but to position himself. He's a Moir B'Malchus, not on a practical level, on a Dinei Shamayim Dika level. So they didn't want to kill him by doing the Maisa Hariga. Again, how they were able to pass in that way is because before Matan Torah, the Tsuras Hadin was different. They weren't passing a regular Psak and Bezin, otherwise they would have killed him B'Yadayim. It's a mitzvah and Bezin to kill whoever's Mechuyev Misa. The point that they passed was a Psak B'Kavshe D'Rachmona, B'Dinei Shamayim. If it was B'Dinei Shamayim, it's only about effect. It's about cause and effect. It's not about Maisa B'Yadayim. But then again, for them to kill him with a Maisa B'Yadayim would have been killing him in Dinei Odom, killing him in this world. He wasn't responsible. He wasn't Chayiv Misa in Dinei Odom. He was Chayiv Misa, at least in their opinion, only B'Dinei Shamayim. And if it was Chayiv Misa B'Dinei Shamayim, then they had to kill him in a way that was consistent with the Din of Dinei Shamayim, which means causing the Misa and not killing him B'Yadayim. That was the discussion between Yehuda, Reuven, and the brothers. Later on, when Yosef said, Ani Yosef, and they saw that the Kavshir Achmona went deeper than they thought, they saw that all this was orchestrated by the Hashgoch El Yoyna, and there was some deeper Anhoga called a Mashiach Ben Yosef, called a Soiv Maisev B'Machshov Etchila, called the Anhoga of Yosef that came before the Anhoga of Yehuda, they were left speechless. They didn't question their psak, because their psak was on one level. They saw that there was a deeper level of anhoga, a deeper level of rotzen abayre than they had thought was there. They were tzaddikim gemurim. They paskin the emes lamita on the level that they were privy to. Dinei Odom, he wasn't chayiv. Dinei Shamayim, there were gluyim that they knew about. He was chayiv, and on a deeper level of dinei shemayim nistorim that they weren't privy to b'shas ma'isa, he was potter. Not only was he potter, but it was supposed to happen that way. So that may be, again, we're trying to just pull out a little bit of oil from the hastorah of things that we can't understand, but maybe that back and forth of dinei shemayim, dinei odom, doing a ma'isa b'yadayim and a gram, maybe has to do with that type of perception of a Maisi B'Yadayim being the Dinei Odom, and the Maisi Shamayim, the Dinei Shamayim being Shaykh to cause and effect, but nothing to do with the Maisi Odom, and that was the discussion between the different story.
The Beis Havad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.